All right, let's get started. Let's pray. Father, I pray that in the next few moments, as we look at your word, that the very power that you have placed in these words would come alive in our hearts. That this wouldn't be about listening to a speech. This would be about hearing from you and responding in worship. Lord, may this be and continue to be a holy time before you. Open our hearts wide to receive whatever it is you have for us this morning. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning we're going to start by talking about things that have been discontinued. I don't know about you, but I've got some heavy losses in my life. Things that have been discontinued in my short little lifetime. Things that I can no longer get. It is sad. Very, very sad. I'm going to go through some of the things that hurt me deeply. I'm going to pour out my soul before you. Here's one. Oh, there it is. Anyone remember Tahiti Treat?
No.
Oh, God bless you, my friend. You're just that old. This was a sugary, punchy, little fruity drink that I'm sure created obesity around the globe that I loved, and I couldn't get enough of it, and it is now gone. I cannot get Tahiti Treat anywhere. And I'm actually surprised that hardly any of you know what that is. So I'll just continue on. Here's another major loss in my life. Orion's sour cream and onion chips. You know, unlike other chips, these had flavor. And because they had flavor, my theory is the folks at Old Dutch and Hostess took Mrs. Orion on a long walk off a short pier. And you can't get Orion's thick and crunchy chips anymore. They're gone. I wish I would have known when I took that last chip that I'd never taste that again. I can tell you're feeling real sorry for me at this point. And finally, the one that really cuts deep. Cadbury's Rum and Butter Bar. Yeah, oh, I hear the groaning of my people. Huh. This one cuts so deep, I actually wrote to Cadbury's. I'd like to say a long time ago. It wasn't. And I said, could you please bring back the Rum and Butter Bar? And they thanked me for my input. So, just for fun. Just a couple. What are some things that you kind of miss that you can't get anymore?
Peak Freen's coffee cream biscuits.
Oh, okay. All right. Peak Freen's coffee cream biscuits. Okay. That, I don't know what that is, but that sounds pretty good. Something else. Yes, Michelle.
The Rum and Butter Lifesavers.
Oh, actually, you can still get those.
Only at Christmas.
True, but at least you can get them sometime. You just have to stock up, I guess, right? You can't stock up on these. Anyone else? Notice these are all food items.
Oldsmobile.
Oldsmobile, oh! You can't get an Oldsmobile anymore? I don't know. I'm not a car guy. Okay, I saw a hand over here.
Orbits.
You have not a fan up here, but... Hey, my heart goes out to you, buddy. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, yes. Should we have a moment of silence about that one? That's pretty serious. So, as you know, there's lots of things that we could talk about that you can't get anymore. Those days are gone. And on a more serious note, there are things in my life that I wish I would have not taken for granted at the moment. You know, I used to go on fishing trips with my dad, and I never even fathomed the possibility that by the time I was 19 years old, he was gone, and those fishing trips would come to an end. I used to go on sleepovers at my grandpa's place, loved going on sleepovers at my grandpa's place, and then one day, they just kind of stopped. I became an older teenager, I got too busy or whatever. I never appreciated those times that I got to spend out at my grandpa's place. And there I could talk about my parents. I never appreciated how much hard work they put into my life. I never appreciated my education. And now that I'm a little older and I see the plight of education around the world, I think, man, I should have taken my education less for granted. It's a real privilege to have an education. And I'm sure you could probably look back and think of things that you probably took for granted. Now, but what we're talking about this morning is a person that we quite often take for granted. And if the first thing that comes to your mind is God, you get partial credit. We're talking this morning about the Holy Spirit. And as we finish out this series on serving, I think it would be a complete disservice to not talk about how important the Holy Spirit is to you and I doing the work that God has called us to. For those of you who may be unfamiliar with the idea of the Holy Spirit is a person in the Godhead equal to the Father and Son, Father, Son, and Spirit, all God. Different persons, all God. And I want to start with a quotation. How many of you have seen this movie, The Case for Christ? Any of you smarty pants has actually read the book? Oh, there's a few of you smarty pants out there. It's good. So The Case for Christ, the guy who wrote it, Lee Strobel, former atheist, he had these really good words to say. He said, "We can't be filled with the power of God until we first empty ourselves of the pretense that we can get by on our own." And that really hits home for me, because I think, how many times in my life have I gone into something just relying on myself? And he said, when you want to be filled with the power of God, you have to realize you can't do it on your own. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. We greatly overestimate our own resources, and we greatly underestimate the resources of the Holy Spirit. Not an amen in the house. Do I need to repeat that? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. This is an incredible truth that can revolutionize your life. This message can change your life if you would allow the Holy Spirit to just speak to you this morning. If you have the opportunity, as you are reading, I know many of you are reading the pages of the New Testament on a day-by-day basis. God bless you. Look for the term Spirit or Holy Spirit, and just see how involved in our lives as followers of Jesus the Holy Spirit is. This morning we are going to barely scratch the surface, but I want to give you just a taste of how important the Holy Spirit is to us. And we are going to discover together, not Orion's, not that. I just keep looping back. Keep going. Yes, here we go. Without the Spirit, life is lifeless. The Holy Spirit is someone that you and I believe, often take for granted in our lives. We don't realize what a privilege it is to have the Holy Spirit live inside of us as believers. He's there, but we often don't acknowledge him. So just to give you an idea about some of the things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives as believers, let's dive in. Here's the first one. The Holy Spirit convinces us. The Holy Spirit convinces us. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 1:5, and it says this: "When we brought you the good news," this is Paul talking, "when we brought you the good news or the gospel message, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true." Did you know without the Holy Spirit, you and I wouldn't recognize the truth of the gospel. You and I wouldn't be here today. Because we would be out there in our homes fully convinced that either there is no God, or if there is, we're good. The Holy Spirit convinces us that we need Jesus to save us. So we wouldn't even be here without him. That's how important he is. How many of you have had the Holy Spirit speak to you and say, you need Jesus in your life? How many of you? Yeah, many of you. And if you haven't, that's okay. We're glad you're here this morning. We really are. But many of us have had that. People around the world today will come to Jesus because the Holy Spirit's tapping them on the shoulder. Isn't that cool? Wow. Number two, the Holy Spirit frees us. Frees us. This is amazing. Because the Holy Spirit, when we are saved, doesn't just erase our past record of sin. He does more than that. Watch this. This is so cool. Romans 8, verse 2. Because you belong to him, he's talking to believers now, because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Let that sink in for a moment. Has freed you from the power of sin. In other words, the very desire to sin has been cut, has been broken in us. The Holy Spirit has freed us from the addiction to sin. Now, the first question that you probably are thinking is, well, then why do Christians still sin? Very simply, we don't always live in the freedom that God has given us. It's like he's opened up the jail cell, and sometimes we like to just sit there. Sometimes we like to be in prison. Sad, but true. Whereas the Holy Spirit has freed us. And notice, and this is my favorite part, it isn't that he is freeing us. Did you notice that? Or it's not that he will free us. Paul writes in the past tense to every believer. What has he done? He has freed, done, back there, freed us from the power of sin. Isn't that amazing? And that is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. He has freed you from the very addiction to sin. Wow. Well, I'm excited. Number three, the Holy Spirit changes us. It's not enough that we're just avoiding sin. And a lot of people think that's what being a follower of Jesus is. You just avoid sin. So you spend the rest of your life with a bunch of do-nots. But that's not what being a follower of Jesus is it? He actually releases us to be more like Christ. Watch this. This is cool. Many of you are familiar with this verse. Galatians 5:22, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know that dance? You've probably heard that term before, right? You've heard this verse before. But have you ever thought about the fact there's only one fruit? It all comes together. And this is how you know it's a genuine work of the Holy Spirit, is when all of this happens together. You may know people who don't know Jesus, and they are really loving people. That's awesome. But are they also patient and gentle and self-controlled and good? You know what goodness means? That has the character of God. See, they all come together. There is one fruit. There's one product of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And it is this. Isn't that marvelous? I love that. Without the Holy Spirit, you and I would never change. We'd be stuck. We certainly could not serve others when we're stuck like that. Number four. The Holy Spirit assures us. I'm going to let you in on something that's really cool about God. God didn't send his son to die on a cross so that his followers could spend the rest of their lives worrying about whether they are saved or not. The Holy Spirit assures us that we are his children. Watch this. Don't believe me. I wouldn't believe me either. Let's believe God's word. Romans 8, again. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you. I love that. We are adopted as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. And here's the really important part I want you to focus on. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Isn't it great that God doesn't want us living in some kind of mamby-pamby land where we don't know whether we're saved or not? Every other religion in the world is like that. Did you know that? Every other religion wants you kind of going, I'm not really sure if I'm going to make paradise or whatever it is that they believe in. I don't know. Only in Christianity is there this beautiful assurance that says you are saved not because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus has done for you. And the times where you have, as a follower of Jesus, felt the most grateful, felt the most loved, felt the most free, those were the times that the Holy Spirit was doing his work in you, assuring you, you are my son, you are my daughter. It's like we spend our whole lives going, no, I'm not, and the Holy Spirit's going, yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. And this goes back and forth and back and forth. And this is the Holy Spirit's job. Isn't that great? I'm so grateful for a God that doesn't just let me dangle out in no man's land. Or no woman's land. He wants us to be confident in that adoption process. He wants you to be confident that the paperwork is done. It's signed. Next, this one I'm still wrapping my head around. I got to be honest. The Holy Spirit prays with us. The Holy Spirit prays with us. Have you ever had times where you go to pray and you just don't know what to say? Me too. I've had those times. Watch this. Romans 8 again. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. I have been there. But the Holy Spirit prays for us. What? With groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. Now, if you can explain that in entirety, with clarity, God bless you, you're a smarter person than I am. This is amazing. The Holy Spirit actually prays for us, with us. When we don't know what to pray, that's when the Holy Spirit does his job. He dives in and prays the things that we don't even know how to put into words. How cool is that? This is what we have as followers of Jesus. I love it. I'm hearing holy murmuring out there. Next, the Holy Spirit strengthens us. Have you ever felt weak? Mm-hmm. And not just on Monday morning. Have you ever felt like you can't face another day? More than that, have you ever felt your faith being really weak? You're filled with fear and doubt. I've had those times. So what do? Have another cup of coffee? Go for a walk? Dance? Watch a little Three Stooges? Make yourself giggle? You know, we sang two songs this morning. I was pretty amazed. Andrew, I don't think, knew what I was going to be preaching about, but he chose two songs. Both of them spoke about how the weak become strong. It's what it says in Ephesians. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through what? His Spirit. There he is again. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Isn't that amazing? Wow. The Holy Spirit keeps our faith strong so that you don't just get bumped around by every little teaching out there. He keeps you moving forward. He keeps you pressing ahead. In the Spirit is strength and hope and endurance and perseverance. That's his job, to keep you strong. And when we are relying on the Holy Spirit, you feel strong. Don't you? Finally, the Holy Spirit empowers us. We talked about this a little bit already. This is what God's Word says in 1 Corinthians. I came to you in weakness. This is Paul talking. Timid and trembling. I think a lot of us ministers feel this. And my message and my preaching were very plain. I can relate. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only. If you have your Bibles and you're following along, that word only. Circle that word. That's the key in that passage. I relied only on the power of who? The Holy Spirit. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. If you have ever served in ministry, ever done any kind of serving, we always have a choice. You can do it in your own strength, and many people do, and I have, or you can rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Guess which one gets results? See, in the end, life, without the Spirit, life is lifeless. So, to sum up, let's just go over this list again. This is what the Holy Spirit does. This is just scratching the surface, okay? The Holy Spirit convinces us that we need him. He frees us from the addiction to sin, changes us to be more like Christ, assures us that we really are adopted into God's family, prays with us, strengthens us in our faith, and empowers us for ministry. Does it give you the idea of how much you and I, on a moment-by-moment basis, need the Holy Spirit? Nod your head if you are agreeing with this statement. Thank you very much. Now, but let's reverse this just for a moment. What happens when you and I don't rely on the Holy Spirit? Let's go through that list again. Well, first of all, you and I would never be convinced that we need God, but let's keep going. Let's say we do become believers, but we do not rely on the Holy Spirit. This is what would happen. We would find ourselves continually falling back into sin. We would see little change in our lives. We would be plagued with doubts about our salvation. Our prayer life would be ineffective and bland. Our faith would be weak and easily intimidated. And we would see no results when we serve. Do you see how vital it is to rely on the Holy Spirit? So, that brings us to the big question, which is this: what can we do? Knowing all of this, what can we do? First, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. See, the Holy Spirit is gentle. He's not going to barge into our lives and say, "Here I am, I'm in charge now, move over, buddy." Holy Spirit is very, very gentle, I've found, and you've probably found this in your life too. He's looking for an invite. Come, guide me. guide my thinking. Even as far as this little exercise we're doing this morning and discovering our spiritual gifts and where we should use them, that requires the Holy Spirit's guidance. And have you prayed about that? Have you asked the Lord? Have you asked the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, guide me. What is it that you would have me do? It's a great prayer. Second, ask the Holy Spirit to empower you. Once you have decided, yeah, I want to serve in this area, you can move from living in the natural realm to the supernatural realm. And when the Holy Spirit empowers us, that is when we start treating people the way Jesus treated people. And I'll tell you what Nanaimo needs today is to be treated the way Jesus treated people, with such mercy and such grace. Wasn't he gentle with sinners? Oh, if only I could be like that. And I continue to strive to be. And here's the thing, though. Once you've done this, and this is a great daily prayer, by the way. Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, empower me. But if that was the end of it, we'd be missing the boat. Because you can say those words. But then afterwards, this is what I have discovered. You need to walk it out. You need to assume that the Holy Spirit is actually doing this. That the Holy Spirit is guiding you. That the Holy Spirit is empowering you. Wouldn't he want to? Do you think the Holy Spirit's sitting back going, I'm not so sure about that. Not sure that's a good idea. And so we often doubt that he's doing anything. Do you know what the church is? This is big C. The church's number one hit single is? No one? I Feel Unqualified. It's a gold record, man. I Feel Unqualified. That's not a real song, by the way. But I Feel Unqualified by Generic Christian. I have been on so many church boards. To a man, they have said, I don't feel qualified to be here. Small group leaders, I don't feel qualified. Sunday school teachers or kids' church teachers, I don't feel qualified. People who are training others in the faith, I don't feel qualified. I've heard the song so many times. And part of it can be good. Part of it realizes, hey, you know, I'm not qualified. I don't have it in me. However, I have found that it's not just an indictment on ourselves and our own weakness. Sometimes this, I feel unqualified, is also an indictment on the Holy Spirit that says, I feel unqualified and you can't help me. And so I'm paralyzed. I sit in my church chair week after week after week doing nothing because I am unqualified. After all that we just read about what the Holy Spirit is just itching to do in each of us, we say, I feel unqualified. Let me give you a little window into my world. A lot of people think, ah, pastor, you went to seminary. You have a degree. You must know what you're doing. I wish that were true. I really do. Here's some things. I could go on and on about the things that seminary did not prepare me for. Here's a few of them. I was called to cleanse a room after someone had just committed suicide in it. Did I know what to say? Nope. I was called when someone's mother had just died. They lived in the same house, and she was still there. I got there before the coroner did. Did I know what to say? Did I know what to do? Nope. I was one of the first people to arrive at the home of a woman whose boyfriend and father of her five children were just suddenly killed. Did I know what to say? Did I know what to do? Nope. I was there with a woman as her husband was in his last seconds of life. Did I know what to say? Did I know what to do? No. And so many times in my life, all I have is the Holy Spirit. That's all I have. All my experience, all my training, who cares? But I have the Holy Spirit. See what I'm saying? So, just as for me, so as for you. You may find yourself over your head in ministry. Perfect. It's exactly where you need to be. Because I don't think we need to rely on the Holy Spirit until we are in over our heads. If ministry is comfortable and you always know what to do, what do you need the Holy Spirit for? Not an amen. Come on now. Stepping up in service is a gift to yourself. It is an investment in the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now watch, this is cool. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. This is a statement of normality. This is just what happens when you follow Jesus. If you're a child of God, you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. This is what we do. It's not that children of God are people who just pray to prayer or who go to church or who read their Bible or get baptized. There's a relationship involved. This dependence on the Holy Spirit is being offered to us. It's ours for the taking. Isn't that amazing? We can be led by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, follow me. Relationship, not just convert to me. Our mission as a church is inviting people to follow Jesus. That's a relationship implied there. I'm wrapping up here. For those of you who are wondering. I love you, man. I believe that as a church, we need to be continually dependent on the Holy Spirit for everything, including these services. Please, please pray for our services. Pray for our small groups. Pray that the Holy Spirit would be part of every time we get together. Because without Him, it's just a club meeting. Without the Holy Spirit, church is a boring club aimed at meeting members' needs. But with the Holy Spirit, it is an empowered force that is morphing the world into the kingdom of Jesus, one person at a time. With the Holy Spirit, we are convinced that we are a sinner. We are freed from our sin. We are assured of our faith. We are changed to be more like Christ. Our prayers become more powerful. We have incredible courage, and we actually make a difference in Nanaimo. Without the Spirit, life is lifeless. Church, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Ask the Holy Spirit to empower you, and then walk out in faith, trusting that God is answering that prayer. Your life will never be the same. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite you to take charge. We are grateful, Holy Spirit, that you are here and that you have a role to play in each of our lives. Lord, I pray especially this morning for the people in this room who don't know you yet. Would you just tap them on the shoulder and let them know today is the day? Would you let them know that you love them and that they need you? For those of us who already know you, convince us of how much we need you. Forgive us for the things that we do on our own strength, and guide us. Amen. Tim, come on up.